Hello and welcome back to the Farcom Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to each and every episode. This is the 67th episode putting out here. It has been very enjoyable. As always, contact me on Twitter at Farcom Podcast or email at farcompodcast@gmail.com. I want to apologize for the delay from the last episode. Unfortunately, real life does intervene sometimes, and my work kind of moved my schedule around pretty severely and took away some off days, vacation days I was expecting. As such, you know, family comes first, so I had to tend to them, as I think everyone listening does as well. I am working to rectify the situation, all I can say for now, but I am very excited about the future. It looks very bright. On to Northwestern sports. And when I was a student at Northwestern, this was one of my favorite times of the year, because you've got men's and women's basketball in full gear, you've got baseball and softball starting up, you've got track, you got tennis. So there's a lot of opportunity to do some things. And of course, if you're a student at Northwestern, you get into the games for free. So I've always said, man, if you're a student there, utilize that. And for any students listening, utilize that free opportunity to go support the Demons and Lady Demons. I've always found it to be very entertaining and at times very relaxing and just a good way to get away from studies. And of course, if you're in Natchitoches, you know, what better way to spend an afternoon than a couple hours with the Demons? Start off with men's basketball. Men's basketball team in 19-8 coming into that game against UNO, looking for their first 20-win season since the 2012-2013 team that won the Southland Conference Tournament, went to the NCAA Tournament, ended up losing to Florida, finished 23-9 on the year. Very talented Demon squad for sure. Demons unfortunately kind of hit a roadblock against UNO. Now, UNO coming in, even though they were last in conference, I don't find they were that bad of a team. There's a lot of parity in the conference right now. In years past, you had those great Northwestern teams, those very, very great Stephen F. Austin teams that were just well above the bottom, you know, half of the conference, and you'd see a lot of blowouts, especially from those SFA squads where they would just absolutely decimate some of the bottom teams. This year in the Southland Conference, there's not a huge gap between the top and the bottom. So I wouldn't, if you're a Demon fan, I wouldn't get too worried about this loss to UNO. One thing, UNO is well coached. We, of course, know Coach Schlesinger. He was part of the Demons of Destiny team, was in Northwestern for 11 years and his assistant under McConathy has now, I believe, been at UNO for 11 years as well. His teams are always, you know, well-disciplined, well-coached. He's one of the things he is so good at is game planning for opponents. And I've said on this podcast before, I used to go to his office when he was at Northwestern, and you know, he would, you know, just break down films, and I'd kind of sit there and listen to him kind of explain to me what he was looking at. And it was really amazing the mind for basketball he has and the little tendencies he could see on every team. So being the second time we've seen him, of course, we took care of him pretty easily the first time. But this being the second time we've seen him, you know he's going to pick you apart. He's going to find those tendencies. So not a guy, again, not a team that I would be too concerned with going forward as far as that loss goes. And for UNO, they're led by Jordan Johnson, had 23 points on 6-13. And Tyson Jackson with 14, both did really well. For the Demons, DeMarcus Sharp, 22 points. Jamonte Black, 18. Isaac Haney with 11. Three-point-wise, we were 8 of 26. Not the best. Jamonte Black, I thought, missed a couple that he would normally put in. But nothing I was too concerned with. Overall, one thing I would have liked to have seen, which we didn't have, is Jordan Wilmore did come back. I didn't find offensively was too effective. Finn at 1 point. I would like to see him get more involved. Same with Mary McDonald, who played 10 minutes, didn't get too involved on the offense. But that's, again, minor things, I believe. And I think that's just more UNO was kind of taking that away. And they kind of, to me, it felt like UNO said, all right, you know, we're going to let Sharp, Black, and Haney get their points, and that's it. We're going to cut it down after. And it worked effectively for them. At the end of the game, we had shots, you know, Sharp, Black, Haney all had wide open looks, just couldn't get it to fall. It happens. UNO had a last shot. They hit theirs. It was a great shot by them. And, of course, they end up taking the win, and that shot, to give proper credit to UNO, was a three-pointer by Jordan Johnson with 58 seconds left. We had chances, again, didn't convert. But going forward for the Demons, the important thing is to finish off in one of those top two seeds where you get that bye to the semifinals, get a little bit more rest, I don't think with the coaching staff we have that it should be any issues with us having a bye and maybe coming in not as game ready as the teams that have kind of fought through the gauntlet to get to that semifinals. I think Coach Gibson is going to have them ready to go. Right now, if you look at the men's standings, A&M Corpus Christi a game ahead of us at 12-3, 19-9. We're, of course, right below them, one game behind, 11-4, 19-9. Below us is Nichols, 9-5 and 14-12, and then Southeastern, which is at 9-6 in conference. Nichols is a team that, again, this is why we do need to make sure we win the games going forward, because Nichols is a very talented team. They play very disciplined ball. They're a very, not a flashy team, but fundamentally sound. So that's a team that I can see running the table going to the end of conference. And if you hit Nichols in a tournament on a hot streak, that's a team that I wouldn't want any part of. On the other side, for men's basketball, you look at the bottom of the conference, there's four teams fighting for that last spot, the last two spots, which is UIW, Lamar, UNO, and McNeese, all at 5-10. For my money, I expect Lamar to come out of that. As far as the other teams, I'm not sure. I'm going to just pick UIW out of them. I think they're playing as good as anyone. McNeese has kind of taken a surge on, but they still have a lot of problems going forward. UNO, again, they've played close, but they just haven't put it together this year. They haven't been consistent, I believe, as UIW or Lamar. So I'm really high on Lamar, a team I wouldn't want to see in the conference tournament. They're playing extremely well, and they're just a piece or two away from being a very solid contender. And I fully expect Lamar in the next year or two to be a contender in the Southland Conference. They're doing really well. But for the Demons, looking at the rest of the schedule, we're going to be facing Incarnate Word twice. Of course, we're traveling to Incarnate Word Thursday at 7:30. We'll come then on Saturday. We'll take on A&M Corpus Christi, which may be for the conference championship, all depending on how things fall. But it can at least, I believe, if we get a win over UIW and then can defeat A&M Corpus Christi, it should lock us up with at least a bye into that semifinal in the conference tournament. And then we'll finish off the season at home against UIW. Always tough to play a team back-to-back-to-back. But you have that Thursday, Saturday, Wednesday. To me, it's three games left. Season's in front of you. You still have a good chance to win a regular season title. That's going to be interesting. If you look at A&M Corpus Christi, who we are trying to chase right now, they are in the midst of a nine-game winning streak. They'll have Texas A&M Commerce at home Thursday before facing us that Saturday. Then they'll travel to A&M Commerce on Wednesday. Commerce is a really good team. I could see Commerce splitting a series with them if they play well enough. But it's going to be interesting to see how that falls out. But right now, if you're the Demons, the big key is win as many as you can. Hopefully, you want to take all three, but no less than two or three to get that bye going into the Southland Conference Tournament. On the flip side, with the Lady Demons basketball team, it's been a very hit or miss team. They find themselves right now at 11-14, 7-8 in conference. They've won, however, two of the last three over at A&M Commerce. Dropped one, bad one to Southeastern on Thursday, but with a nice 82-81 overtime win over UNO. Lady Demons were led in that game by Candace Paramore with 26 points, then Shamer Aries with 19. Also have to give credit also to Joelle Johnson with 11. Shooting-wise, again, just kind of played this all year. We've shot 40% from the field. Not great, but not horrible. Better than we have done. But for the Lady Demons, I feel it's just getting that consistency on offense. Have to do what they can and get in that conference tournament. If you look at the standings for women's basketball right now, we are currently in sixth place. Right now, two games ahead of UNO, who is right now in ninth place. So I think a win should clinch us in our last three games, should give us a clinch of getting to the conference tournament. I'd like to win out a little bit more. We're one game behind UIW. We're not going to catch anyone else from that, but we can finish fifth at least. So I think for Lady Demons, the big thing now is just get consistency going into the conference tournament. And then once you get And in the conference tournament, both men's and women's. Once tournament play starts, all records reset to zero. It doesn't matter if you finish fourth or eighth. You've got an equal shot to get into the postseason and winning the conference tournament. Of course, the goal of everybody gets to the NCAA tournament. For me, at least on the men's side, I would like to see us catch and hopefully win a regular season championship, which would get us an automatic berth to the NIT. Now, if we can finish with 20 or 21 wins, there's always that outside chance we could get an NIT berth or one of the other postseason tournaments. But of course, main mission, get to the NCAA tournament, win the conference tournament, which will be, of course, in Lake Charles this year. Going to take a quick break and come back and talk about baseball and softball in full swing. Shifting over to the spring sports, going to start off talking about Lady Demon Softball, who had a tremendous weekend this weekend out of the Mardi Gras Mambo Classic in Yangzhou, Louisiana, going 5-0 in the tournament. Very impressive. A personal one to highlight, and it's something I believe is very important for the success of this team, is Maggie Darr, the sophomore pitcher out of Missouri City, Texas. Against Toledo, she had a complete game, 7 innings, allowed only 1 hit while striking out 9 in the win over Toledo in the tournament finale. Very impressive showing so far for her on the season, where she's improving. Last year she finished with a 1.97 ERA. This year she is at 1.94 and has only given up 16 hits in 21 innings, striking out 28. So she is taking over this season where she left off last year, which is great to see. Something I've always believed, and I've been a big believer in with collegiate softball, is that the great teams, when you look at the Oklahomas, you look at Alabama, look at LSU, Florida, they always seem to have that 1-2 combo for pitchers. You don't have just one ace. You've got those two pitchers that can come in at any given time and they shut down the opposition. For the Lady Demons, I see one of the positive things I see is our pitching staff has a lot of depth and quality depth, which is more important. Maggie Doe, of course, we know she's going to be there. She looks to be the ace right now. But I'm impressed with the other three girls on the roster. First with Riley Denton, who has a 1.17 ERA coming in. I like the way she looks so far. Good movement on her pitches. I think her pitches look really good. Very solid performers. Be interested to see how she works as the season goes along. You've got Kenzie Seeley and Bronte Roten, of course, coming back from last year. And we both know both of those can be very effective. The thing I love about that is that you know Maggie Darr is going to be there. She's clear the ace. But of the other three, with Denton, Seeley, and Roten, I think they all are capable enough to step into that number two spot. And it's a good problem to have whenever you've got so much pitching depth that you can almost pick and choose any of those three to step up. It's a good problem to have, and I think it's going to cause problems for our opponents and should lend us well once conference play starts. Meanwhile, on the offensive side of things, you look at the names up on the top of the list right now leading the batting averages. You got Lainey Roos, Keely Dubois, Cap Marshall, Bailey Ragsdale, all names we've seen. So you've got that nice mix of depth and experience. And, offensively, I don't think there's going to be any issue with us scoring runs. It's just, can we get that 1-2 punch from the pitching staff? And if that can happen, I think this could be a very special season for Lady Demon Softball, and I'm very interested to see how they're going to progress as the season goes along. And for them to hit the ground running the way they have is awesome to see. They'll be coming home for their first home game against Grambling Wednesday at 5:00 at Lady Demon Diamond, so hopefully a lot of people show up for that one. And then we'll take on Wichita State, North Texas, in the North Texas Invitational coming up this weekend. So sky's the limit with this team. I'm very high on them. Love what I see so far, so great job to Lady Demons. Meanwhile, on the baseball side of things, a real tough start to the season, going 0-3 in the Jaguar Classic out at South Alabama in Mobile. Lost a pair of one-run games against South Alabama and UAB before getting blasted 11-1 to Eastern Kentucky in the finale. I didn't find our starting pitching look bad at all. In fact, you look at that first game, Cal Carver, 5 innings, pitch, only gave up 2 hits, 1 base on ball, struck out 6. That's a good solid start. You get that going forward, I think you're going to do well. The same thing in that second game against UAB. I thought, again, we looked good. Alex Makerich had 4 innings, 2 hits, 2 earned runs, 3 strikeouts. only had three walks. That's not bad. I thought, again, he looked good. Gus Collins looked good in that game as well. Kyle Frolich, again, I thought we looked solid on the mound and in the third game. Drayton Brown, he had a little rough second inning recovery, kind of ran out of gas in a sixth, and then our bullpen kind of gave up a lot in that seventh, eighth, and ninth. In fact, if you look at the game, seven of their 11 runs were in those last three innings, so the bullpen kind of gave up a little bit going on in that one. But pitching wise, I liked what I saw. The problem I'm seeing from this team, kind of similar, kind of what we had last year, is that we're not getting the timely hits when we need it. We only got two hits against South Alabama. We actually out hit UAB 6-2. Unfortunately, much like last year at times, we'll get guys on base and just couldn't bring them around. Nothing to panic about yet. You know, I thought our approaches at the plate, from what I can tell, unfortunately wasn't a good broadcast. So I was trying to go between different radio broadcasts and just eyewitness accounts from the game. But from everything I've heard, you know, the approaches at the plate weren't bad. But nothing to panic about yet, but it's something to be concerned about. It was a problem last year, and something, you know, going forward, you know, we've got to get those timely hits, got to get, you know, manufacture runs any way we can. You know, pitching wise, looks like we're going to be solid. Just have to, you know, finish up, get a complete game. We'll be at home on Tuesday against LSU Alexandria. You know, LSUA, even though they're a lower division team, they're solid. They've got a good squad, always do. It's going to be fun to have them. And then we'll go on to Sugar Land, Texas, this weekend to take on Seton Hall, New Mexico State, and Stephen F. Austin before returning home next week to take on SFA in a midweek game. That's going to be a tough one. You know, this could be a good opportunity for us. That's, of course, Constellation Field. It's a pretty sizable field, so good chance to see us maybe manufacture some runs. And that's what I want to see going forward for the baseball team, is get runners around. Let's get points on the board. You know, get runs scored. You know, the pitching staff right now, I think it's good enough to win us games, but, you know, without that offensive output, it's just not going to happen. I do thank you for listening to this episode of the Four Arkham Podcast. As of right now, because of my current work schedule, I do plan on releasing the new episodes on Sundays, as that is my one day off right now. For the near future, like I said, there are some things in the works which should make things a little easier, a little better, but for now, that's where we're at. I do appreciate everyone for listening. Hope you have safe travels, anyone going to the games. Of course, please go support Demons and Lady Demons. Huge week for both men's and women's basketball teams. Going to get more into tennis in the next episode. Going to talk about track as well. So a lot of excitement going on. Thank you for listening. And as always, Four Arkham Demons.